This week on Comics Talk Comedy, we got Sebastian Tawa in studio. We talk about traveling the world, his love of women, but may come off not sounding quite that way, and trying to figure out a way to express his feelings without coming off too chauvinistic. Check it out. It's another week of Comics Talk Comedy. Jesse, you're here.
I'm here. I'm sorry I'm late, Jeff. It's nice to see you.
I know, as always. You have the big old wood tonight, huh?
I do have wood right now for this podcast.
Podcast.
Yeah, I was at the wood, Beechwood there. Josh Nelson, had this tough, he had just hecklers in the front row. I guess these fucking Boston Red Sox fans.
Right.
I guess they won their volleyball match today or whatever the fuck.
First game of the World Series.
I don't give a shit about them. They were fucking ruining the show, so Josh finally actually had to kick him out.
Yeah.
But, of course, they ruined his set first.
Right.
But, God, I was so happy that he did that. It was like, and they were the whole front row, by the way.
Right.
The whole front row is gone now, but it was still better than having these fucking bitches in the front row talking. They literally just talked right through his set.
Just to each other?
Just loud, just commenting on everything. I was like, why would you even sit there?
But anyway. Really weird.
The show started late, and I got here late.
Why did it start late? The game?
Were they it's just the people get there so late. I think they used to say the show started at 9, mm-hmm. and then he was starting it at 9:30. Now he's kind of telling people it starts at 9:30, and they're like just barely getting there at like 9:35, and so it was like 9:45 when it started.
Right.
Wow. You know.
Who else was on it?
It was Hugo. Well, first it was Josh, then Hugo, then Crosby, and then me, but then Chip Nicholson popped in, but I said, I got to go up before him because I got to get up here.
Yeah, because he's going to do 20.
He's supposed to do 6, so he was going to do about a half an hour, I think.
Did he still go up?
A tight half hour. He still went up.
Yep. Who was the headliner?
I don't remember his name. I didn't meet him.
Nice guy?
Yeah, he had a Tupperware full of merch of some kind.
There you go.
Might have been Coke. I don't know what it was.
Good looking guy?
Real good looking.
There we go.
Really good looking.
Need to be.
No, that's a great show. I mean,
it was good for your set.
It's a perfect show for our guest tonight because it was all women in that audience. it's almost like 75% hot PB chicks in that crowd.
That's good.
So I always love.
You had a shot to nail some chicks, but you had to leave.
I didn't have a shot, but I did do some crowd work. I actually wrote my first crowd work bit. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I was thinking about doing the wood, and I was like, I got to have something for one of these sleeveless assholes that's going to sit there. And so nobody was sleeveless because it's too cold for that, I guess. Yeah. But there was a guy who was pretty yoked out, so I had some good stuff prepared for that.
You went after the strongest guy in the
world. Yeah. Isn't that what you're supposed to do when you go to prison first? You're supposed to knock that guy out. And they respect you after that, right?
Okay, how'd that go?
It went well.
Did he like it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's always good.
Yeah, it was cool.
You lucked out.
Yeah.
So we did a special Saturday, so we don't have much other wrapping up. Did you do any other shows, Sunday, Monday?
No, not really, no. Sunday, Monday. Monday we had our class. We had a very good class, I thought, on Monday.
And we did some sketches before.
Yeah, we did some video sketches, our first couple sketches together. Those are fun.
Tommy said he liked them from ACC.
He did?
Yeah.
He didn't mind that we misspelled the word massage in the first one?
I don't think so.
Had to redo it. I redid it, put it out again, corrected.
Yeah. I don't think as many people saw it.
I had a feeling it was wrong, but then I asked the guy Sam, who doesn't speak English, this looks right?
That was the best part, listening to him try to make that sentence.
Yeah.
I think you should release that. That was fun.
He's continually saying, the best thing in life are free. And he had to have a script to do it.
He did it about 35 times.
I had to write it down for him. Did you know that? I actually wrote it down for him to read. He was like the foreign Marlon Brando. He needed cue cards for everything.
Pretty good.
It was good, though. That was fun. Yeah. What about the ACC? Did we talk about that last week? We did a Thursday ACC thing?
Yeah, we talked about it.
We did? Okay.
I did the store Sunday.
How was that?
It was about 6 people.
6?
Yeah.
6 people?
Yeah.
So it was pretty awesome.
It was all right. I've been writing a lot of new stuff, so I was having fun with that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So. Were they a good 6?
Yeah, they were good. I mean, they were
They were together, you know.
Okay.
So it was all right. It wasn't terrible.
That's a lot for the Prince Hookah room. That would fill that room up nicely.
I know. You know. Yeah. But then Monday, I did the open mic at the Palace.
How was that?
It was okay. Kind of just reworking the new stuff.
I saw part of it. At least the latter part, it was very funny.
Right. Yeah. So that was fun. And then last night I did the ACC.
Six Handsome is a funny bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I love that. I like it because you don't see it coming. You know what I mean? You said I'm like a six handsome, which is...
If you're a six, I'm handsome.
Yeah, if you're a six, I'm handsome, which is great. I like that bit a lot.
And then last night was ACC, and kind of the same thing that you had. There was like a group of people who pretty sure they're either stoned for sure,
right,
but also been doing cocaine because they were sitting right in the front, and the guy kept going up to go to the bathroom. He literally, sitting right in the front,
right,
kept standing up, going to the bathroom.
Well, it's a hell of a drug.
Yeah. When Ula introduced me, all I could hear is, McLovin!
Wow.
Yeah. So I pretty much kind of just ranted with them. I did two jokes, and that was about it.
Okay.
So
the chick tonight would get up and go across the stage. She would get onto the stage to go across, like... What the fuck? She got up and Josh is like, what are you doing? She's like, I gotta get a drink. And he's like, fucking, you're walking across the stage. Like,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
And that's the people that got thrown out?
Yeah, they got thrown out.
I thought it was men, no? Women?
It was two chicks that were doing all the talking.
Okay.
And their boyfriends were allowed to stay.
Really?
Which was weird.
Well, that happened one time when I was there. They threw out a group of people.
Yeah.
And it was like two couples. And then, like, 5 minutes later, the guys were back in there. So they just kind of ditched the girl.
They did. They basically went out and talked to him, like, all right, you're not, you know. And then they went back in and watched the comedy.
Yeah.
So that was weird.
Well, that's weird. Well, then tonight I did Second Wind.
Ah, was that another Point and Yell production?
Yeah, that was a Point Nobody There production.
Oh, really? Did it make you yell? Was it better or worse than Habanos?
It was better. I mean, it was just weird. Like last, it's weird because there were supposed to be six of us doing 10 minutes each, which is a long time when there's literally there was two people sitting in the audience, and then everybody else had their backs turned at the bar. So, and then the way he does it is you have to pay $5 in order to vote. So,
oh really?
Yeah, to get the ballot.
I think
$5.
That's how they do voting in Florida. I think is the same way.
I think so. So I think at first he only had like two people voting, and then I think he just opened it up and gave it to everybody. But I drew first because I'm a lucky guy.
A lucky son of a bitch.
And luckily, Adam did enough time at the start that I don't know if he did this consciously, but he went up until the game was over.
Oh.
And then once the game was over, then he brought me up.
Okay.
But they were heckling and yelling, and then I go up there, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So I was just like, some lady with a very strong smoker's cough was just,
Oh my God!
I opened up with what comedian do you like, and she was like, "Who did she say?"
Wheezy Jefferson,
Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor, okay.
Yeah, so I did a couple, not Richard Pryor jokes, but just like kind of that style, and then I riffed and did a.
Have you heard my Mudbone?
Yeah,
you
need to try and then people yelled a couple like Doug Stanhope's. So I did
okay,
and then Kevin Hart, and then so I did like four or five.
Okay,
and then tried to transition into my own jokes and. Some worked, some not so much, but...
But that was a contest? Did you beat someone in this?
I tied for first.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, how does that work?
I think I probably lost, but...
Is that because they had two people voting and one voted for one voted for the other?
I don't know. So, it was me and then that new... the girl, Naiga. I think that's how you pronounce
it. That's a great name.
Yeah, so she... Tied.
What's the last name for Naiga?
I don't know. Davis?
Okay.
Is it Davis? There we go. Seb, we're getting a confirmation from Seb. He knows the black girl's name.
Oh, God.
I ended up tying for first. But the big thing is that there was, like, a heckler that was, like, yelling the whole show. And, like, heckling. He's watching TV and heckling backwards, which is always nice.
What?
Like, the stage is, like, to the whatever, it doesn't matter. He's not even looking at the stage.
Okay.
Watching TV and yelling shit at people.
At people or at the screen? Like, is he
yelling at
the sports?
At people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
wow, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So they don't turn the sports off for the for the comedy?
No. The TVs were on.
Did you say anything to Adam about that?
No.
Did you get to yell at him twice in one week?
The thing about it is that's completely just a bar. It's in the middle of a shot. It's like kind of like Blarney Stone. Like,
right.
People aren't really there expecting comedy. So if there's hecklers, you can't really tell them because they're actually buying drinks.
Right.
You know, if there's an actual crowd, then I would say, hey, you gotta pipe down. Because sometimes I'll tell Ben to tell a heckler to be quiet,
right,
for instance.
Right.
But when the bar needs to make money at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And if all the comics are just sitting there drinking water, screw them.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, you gotta.
But maybe you don't have a comedy show in a place like that.
Well, of course. There's that, too.
Right.
But, so anyways, like, Jimmy Calloway was on stage, and she's friends with April.
That's a she? Did you say Jimmy?
Jimmy Calloway. Oh, and then he's friends with April Ventura.
Oh, okay.
And April was getting mad at the heckler while Jimmy was on. He was like, shut the fuck up, you're an idiot, blah, blah, blah. Anyways.
It's a goddamn good April impression.
Yeah, I'm not good at impressions. So anyways, the guy ends up leaving, and on the way out, April said something to the effect of, I hope you drive your car off freeway on the way home. To which Adam, awesome. I guess Adam and April already don't see eye to eye.
Oh, really?
So Adam was like, what are you doing? You can't do that. These are my paying customers. Which, I understand that. Like, I understand
I get both sides of that.
I understand both their points.
Yeah.
But...
I've said some mean things to people when they're doing shit like that.
Yeah, I understand, but I also understand Adam's thing because the bar obviously cares more about the customers than the shitty comedians.
Right.
So.
Sounds like a great gig.
So basically, April was supposed to go last, but Adam told her to leave.
So, he did? He told her to leave? She didn't even get. Oh, my God.
So there really was only five of us. And there was some dude that drove all the way down from Orange County to do this show.
Really?
Yeah. So,
did he just point and yell the whole time after that?
I don't know what happened.
So between that and the store, that's eight audience members.
Yeah, the shows I did this week.
It's pretty good.
Well, the Palace had a few people. No, ACC last night had about 60 to 80 people.
Wow.
You were there, right? No. All right. Had about 60, I would say.
Wow.
After a certain point, after like that Cokie group, well, one guy brought most of the people.
Uh-huh.
So after he went up and then that Cokie group kind of left,
yeah,
it was a little... It was spotty. Wasn't that great?
Oh, really?
So I had gone up before that. So luckily I lucked out.
You got to enjoy the Cokie group.
Yeah. So I had fun with it. And then I went and checked over till 2, but wasn't on. So I just went home. Because Jimmy Wolpea had a tough set at ACC.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I wanted to go there. I was hoping he was there just so I could give him some pointers.
You want to cheer up Jimmy Wolpea?
Because, yeah, he got right off the stage and just ran out the building.
Did he?
Yeah, it was tough. But I gave him some pointers and things I think will help out. So
yeah, I like him.
Try to look out for him.
So the Till 2 show wasn't happening?
No, it was happening.
Oh, okay.
But I wasn't on it. You know, next week, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
But I did spend 4 hours working on my packet yesterday.
Right.
Yeah, writing monologue jokes and whatnot.
Sure.
And it took me about 3 hours to write 10 monologue jokes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, though.
Is it?
Are they going to be current for, like, right away, or are they going to expire? Like, how quickly?
Some are current.
Okay.
So I just went on to CNN or went on to local San Diego news and trying to, but I don't really write like that.
Right.
It's very corny.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good exercise, though, I think.
So, yeah, it was fun. I just sat on my laptop and actually had, like, rain playing from... Like the sound of rain
right.
for YouTube.
That helps you think, is the rain?
Yeah. You know, it's collision. If I listen to music, then I start singing the music,
right.
And then, you know, I'm not checking in.
So. You could be headlining in Seattle, I think. If
yeah,
you
I
just,
know.
Yeah.
I did send them all to Renee Lancaster from, he's a famous LA
He's a comedian. Famous Hollywood Renee.
Yeah, comedian. Yeah. And then he liked them all, so.
Oh, cool.
That's cool.
Well, I'd love to read them.
Yeah, we'll send them to you. But, well, without further ado, let's bring in our guest of the week,
All
Sebastian
right.
Tawa.
Sebastian Tawa.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good to see you, man.
Thanks for coming in.
Do you want for having me on.
Yeah. Do you want Sebastian or Seb?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I like to be Sebastian when I go up on stage because nobody understands if you say Seb Tawa.
Okay.
Like what?
Like it's distracting.
It's like they don't understand what the name is.
I see.
If I say
that's
Sebastian,
a good reason,
they,
I think.
They do. Like, even when I introduce myself, nobody actually calls me Sebastian. Everybody calls me Seb, but I always introduce myself as Sebastian because when I say Seb, they're like, huh?
I got
what?
You.
Yeah.
I think that's a valid point.
What is Sebastian, though?
Well,
you never heard that name, Sebastian?
It's a name, but it's a recognizable name.
Yeah, it's a real name.
So you think that Seb's not even a name?
Yeah. No,
well,
especially
shortened.
When you say Seb Tawa, they don't know. Is that like one whole name?
Oh, yeah.
I never
is that one that. Name? Is that
like Chinadu, you know?
Yeah.
Chinadu?
Like Cher?
That's a comic's name, Chinadu.
Really?
See, it's confusing you right now.
That's two names?
That's one name.
Oh. Yeah, you don't know.
But Seb Tawa, like he's saying, they could be considered as being one name, two names, who knows? Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Sebastian Tawa is a good way to go.
Did you do any shows this week?
I did, what was it, on Tuesday? Heather's show.
The Office?
The Office.
Oh, yeah, tell us about that. I don't know anything about
that. The first time I went was actually a lot of fun, and it's nice because you get like 5 or 6 minutes.
Okay.
And all the other open mics are 3 minutes.
That is cool.
And
do you have to pay to get on?
It's $2.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you win, like the first time I did it, I won.
What did you win?
That was my gun.
How much did you win?
$20.
That's awesome.
So I walked out with $18.
Paid gig.
Yeah.
Jeff, you did it?
Yeah, I did it the first time, but I didn't.
You got someone else to put money in for you.
Me.
That's right. You got
Dewey.
He
picked me up and paid for me.
What a great gig. Yeah, love Dewey.
This Tuesday was just.
It wasn't good.
There was nobody there.
That's the Office? Is that where
it
is?
Yeah, the Office.
There must have been comics there, though, right?
There were comics, but like 4 or 5.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah.
It was real slow?
Yeah, it was really slow. And like nobody was laughing.
Yeah.
Really?
It was just dead.
Yeah. Did she say she's going to keep it going?
She seemed to. I mean, she didn't say she wasn't. She was just like, what is wrong with the audience? She kept alluding to it, but.
Well, she said there's no audience.
Anyone in the audience?
At first, there were a couple people.
Okay.
And then about halfway through the show, like, there was only comics left.
Hmm.
Wow.
It's kind of how the palace
And like, half of them were outside the door, like, talking, and you could hear them because it was so quiet, you could hear them talking.
They still don't have do they have stage lights yet?
They have, like, this sort of, like, strobe light type of thing.
Yeah, that's
like
great.
Red and blue. Like, it's, like, changing on your face so you can see it changing.
It's like a dance floor that they're turning into. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Give you a little epilepsy light going on.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
So she still charges even when there's no audience, huh?
Well, somebody still wins half of it.
Yeah, somebody's...
Right?
Okay, so...
No, somebody wins the whole thing.
Oh, I thought she gets half.
No.
She doesn't take any of it?
No.
Oh.
Oh, I thought she took
I
half.
Think
she got intimidated out of taking
was,
her
like,
cut of the money. That's
some
what happened.
Threat on Facebook when she first tried to do it, and people were fucking pissed.
They were shitting all over her.
Yeah.
But I don't think she ever said that I'm not making... I thought she said it was 50-50, meaning that she was going to keep half, and then the comics were going to keep half.
I think she was initially.
I don't think she actually said she was going to keep half. People just implied, oh, you're just pocketing half.
Right.
You're making money off those bitches.
She should have said that then.
Yeah.
I think people would have been more open to it if she just would have said, I'm not keeping any of it.
I would have been like, fuck you, I'm keeping half of it. I got to run this room.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. But it's whatever.
It was originally $5.
Yeah.
Which even then, it's like, you probably spend that on drinks. If
sure.
You, like,
of course.
It's not
you
that
buy
big
one
of a
drink.
Deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's a shame there was no one there, though.
Yeah.
You guys had a tough one with 2 and then 6, and then there was, what do you think, 3 at the...
Well, as far as the comics, I got there late because I was working late, but as far as comics go, there were maybe like 5 comics in the room.
Mm. Yeah. You know what? Sometimes, though, you only need a few if they're good. And
well,
you can have a big crowd that sucks. It really varies.
Yeah, but when it's comics, they've all heard your jokes a million times.
Yeah.
Even if you're funny, they're
That's
like, yeah,
true.
But we know it.
Right.
Like, it doesn't...
That's true. But, you know, you got no hecklers. That's something.
Do you do any other? Yeah, I know you did the Palace Monday, right?
Yes.
How was that?
That was all right.
Yeah.
I went up pretty late.
Mm.
So, you know, that show goes pretty late. And by the end, like, everyone's gone.
Yeah, I left at 10:15. The show is still going.
Yeah, it goes late.
I know they want to keep letting everyone go up. But at some point, what's the point of going up when there's nobody in the room?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, but you're still practicing. But the tough thing is, I guess for them, you know, they're paying hourly to whoever's working and no one's... Think about the business side of it. You know what I mean? The Palace is staying open.
I don't think they even have a staff. I think just George or Tony just
serves
people.
Oh, really?
They let Rosie.
Did Rosie stay? Yeah, so they're still paying Rosie to...
Like, it's probably... $3 an hour or
no?
What's the minimum? What do you pay?
$8 an
hour.
You
have to pay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you got no one there buying $8, or you know,
no,
you're just losing money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think.
Well, they do a thing where if you buy drinks, you get extra time. So comics actually
is that right? They do that? I didn't know they did that.
Yeah. So you can get up to 5 minutes if you buy 2 items.
No kidding.
That's
how they do it at the Palace?
Yeah, I never. Yeah. I heard something.
I didn't
about
know
it,
that.
Sometimes if a lot of comics sign up, they'll cut it off just so people can get time. But
really.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Huh.
You're going to be making money at some point.
Well, that's an interesting way to do it, you know?
Well, I think, you know, from talking to George, he really wants to look good for the comics, you know? And
I like George.
Yeah, I like that post you put up because they're the only place where I've seen where the owners are, like, adamantly, they want the comics to succeed.
Right? Yeah, and they'll actually talk to you.
Yeah.
Right. And
you know?
I told George that he should start watching the open mic and picking people for the weekends, which he said he's going to do that. He's going to start watching it kind of like Justin does at ACC. So people, you know, from open mic on Monday could possibly get weekend spots.
So every Monday he'll be watching, basically?
Yeah, he's going to start checking out the open mic.
It's tougher for him to watch since he's mostly locked in that soundproof back room kind of thing. He's going to have to sit out there and watch the whole...
He was out there a lot.
Was he?
Justin doesn't watch the whole thing.
No.
He'll watch parts and, you know.
But yeah.
That's just a cool thing that you're going to start possibly getting weekends. Because he thinks... I mean, by talking to him, it seems like he wants to make it a little bit more localized. Because it seems now it's all L.A. people.
Really. Yeah. Once in a while they'll pepper in somebody. But, yeah. I just don't... It's... I wonder if any local people ever get paid. That's the only thing. Well, you know, if they get to go up, if it's like, well, we were going to book an L.A. guy, but we'll just save our money and put up local people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's still a weekend spot.
Yeah, I'd do that for free.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't have anything else going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, we would all do that. I'm just saying, you know, it's not like you can go, hey, I'm featuring at the Palace. You know, you're not really getting anything.
No.
Except stage time.
You're getting stage time.
It's still good.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But. You know. I'm saying next step, we fight for money.
Right, yeah. But what I'm saying is that a lot of these guys are just doing open mic, so for them to get a weekend spot, that's a big deal.
That's true. Yeah, he can at least like pay us in hummus or something. Well, I know they got a lot of hummus there.
He gave us a nice meal.
You know? He did.
He gave us that.
I got nothing but good things to say about George. He's been super cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
That's why I wanted to make that post. Which was weird because someone who was very against the
festival
then said, yeah, George and Tony are great.
Well, that was, he was saying, George and Tony are receptive to stuff. He was his little underhanded way of slapping.
He likes George and Tony, but not the festival.
Right. Well, yeah. It was like, George and Tony listen to you.
Yeah, but I mean, Tony, he's talking about he wants to stream the thing. He wants us to do like a live podcast the whole time. So
yeah.
There'll be some good things.
I think it'll be cool.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. So how long have you been doing comedy now?
Like a little over a year, seriously.
Okay.
I mean, first time I did it was maybe a couple years ago, but it wasn't until moved here that I really like started going.
Where did you move from?
Colorado.
And you did comedy in Colorado?
In Denver.
Oh, how was the scene out there?
There's only one comedy club in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I maybe did a total of 20 open mics.
Okay.
While I was there. And it's just all comics.
Yeah, so nobody there?
Like... In, like, dive bars and shit, coffee shops or...
So they do have some other open mics besides the one club.
The club does an open mic once a month.
Wow.
And you have to, like, get on the list, like, 2 months ahead of time.
No shit.
It's hard
What
to
is the club
it.
There? Is it
I
like
I think it's called Comedy Works.
Okay,
what it's called.
Cool. Wow. Once a month open mic.
There. Yeah, like one first Tuesday every month or something like that.
And they book national acts through there? I mean, they got big names coming and performing all the time? Yeah.
Because Denver is a pretty big city, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's kind of strange.
It's not that big.
No? They have a football team.
They have a football team, so. But like with like the sort of outskirts, it's like a million people.
That's still a big enough city to have, you know, some kind of comedy scene.
Yeah, they could have more, but...
And how long have you been in San Diego?
Like... A year, over a year, yeah.
So it was right when you moved here that you just got into
it. Because so I was in Colorado, and I was like, okay, I want to do this seriously, and I knew I was moving here, so I was just doing it in Denver until I got here, and then...
What brought you out here?
Grad school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Grad school, Jeff.
That's fun. Do you remember your first show in Colorado?
Yeah, the first open mic I went to, there was one guy and a friend of mine who convinced me to go up. He's like, you're funny, you should do... comedy, and I just ended up talking to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was like this drunk dude.
Okay.
But then the next show I went up, it was like the next week, and all the students have been back. It was actually in Boulder,
okay,
where the university is. And so it was packed, and the show went great. Like, everyone was laughing.
Uh-huh.
And probably had I bombed that night, it might have deterred me.
Oh, you think?
But yeah, it may have. Because I did so well, I was like, oh, this shit's easy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And then I bombed the rest of the time, like every other.
Yeah. I think Andrew Deans has the same story. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, he said he had one good show, and that's why he still comes.
He keeps coming.
Yeah, because it's like, well, I know I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, you have done it before.
You have that glorious memory in there, and you're like, yeah, I got to get
and
that
when
back.
And when everyone's laughing, it's so much fun, you know.
But I'm thinking everyone has that one experience that gets them addicted like that, you know, where they could bomb all the time, but if they have one really good ones, I'm pretty sure that's
totally
what happened to all of us.
Yeah.
You know? Because I don't know, Winston's when we started, it was Bomb City every night. You know what I mean?
No,
we must have had one good one, though.
Do you remember what you talked about on that good show? Is there still jokes?
I talked about some... abortion stuff, as do all. It seems like that's the go-to. Oh, let's just shock everyone.
Yeah.
Oh no, I talked about that, like, when women. I've done the bit a couple times here. When women complain about childbirth, like, oh, you don't have to go through childbirth. It's like, well, neither do you.
Right.
You know.
You don't have to.
You have coat hangers. Like, oh, you don't avoid it. Like,
so another abortion.
Yeah, you
know, and then it was like, well, you don't know. Maybe getting kicked in the balls is worse than childbirth. You don't know.
Right.
So we could say the same thing. You don't know what it's like to get
kicked in the balls. Yeah, but it's like getting kicked in the balls for 4 hours.
Right. That's what I was like.
Right.
Like, so my argument was getting kicked in the balls is more painful, like, per second. But because it doesn't last 4 hours,
so it's a math.
Accumulated.
It's a math.
It's a math joke. Yeah.
It's a math abortion joke.
Math abortion.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
That's fun. I mean, were you a fan of comedy growing up?
No, I didn't have a TV growing up.
Okay.
I didn't really. Let's see. When I left high school and I was 17, I moved out of my parents' house, and my mom bought me a George Carlin book.
Okay.
I'd never heard of him.
Really?
And
so
I read
the book was
first. Yeah, it was brain droppings.
Oh, wow.
And I remember I was reading it, and I was just laughing hysterically out loud. I couldn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is so fucking funny.
That's awesome.
And so then I got sort of – and I kind of was like, I want to do it. That was like 10 years. I was like, I kind of want to do it, but I was doing other shit. I wanted to travel, and then I finally
– Right.
Finally, when like a friend of mine was like, you're funny, you should do it, without me even bringing up that I wanted to do that,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh – she doesn't even know I want to do this, and she suggested it. So maybe I can do it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You know? Totally.
Were you watching comedy at all back then?
Not particularly. I was living in France.
Okay.
And, you know, I...
What were you doing there?
I went there. I just moved there after high school, and then I went to art school for a year. And
in France?
Yeah, in France.
And, oh, cool.
Like, after I left high school... Like, from when I was 17 to basically now, I didn't spend more than, like, 2 years in one place. I was just traveling around a lot, so I never... I just wanted to travel.
Okay.
So I, like, went all around
the
world.
Where else did you go?
I went all over Europe, and I went to Egypt and Lebanon and been...
Did you know people there, or you were just going by yourself?
In France, yeah, because my mom's French, and my dad's got a lot of family in France, too.
Do you speak France?
Yeah, yeah.
French?
I speak France.
Oui.
Je parle français un peu.
Ah, un peu, c'est bien.
Yeah. Si.
I don't know what these two are talking about.
So you're growing up, you were speaking French?
Yep.
Yeah,
my mom didn't speak English when we were growing up.
Oh, wow.
Because she moved here, she didn't speak English.
Okay. Yeah, both my parents spoke French fluently, but I never could pick
it
up.
Yeah, you have a French name.
Yeah.
I
took it for 6 years in high school. But from middle school to high school, and never really picked it up. Because they would teach you basically the same things every year.
Every year. Baguette. Croissant.
Yeah.
Same shit.
You can't learn a language... unless you go to the country, really.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get immersed. That is the best way to do it.
Yeah. So how long were you in France? Like, did you
3 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Where? Did you stay in one place?
No, I moved to 3 different places. I was at a ski resort 1 year, and then I was in Bordeaux 1 year, and then I went to art school 1 year, and then just quit.
Wow.
What is the rent out there? Seems like it would be expensive.
Well, so the first year I was staying at my dad's friend's house.
Okay.
His wife had just left him, and my dad was like, well, you can keep him company. And I was like, yeah, it's nice, but he was just depressed the whole time.
He was. I can only imagine a depressed Frenchman as a roommate.
Like, his wife had just, like, he had broke the news that she had been cheating on him for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And he was just, like, had no idea. So he was totally depressed.
I bet.
Yeah.
Oof.
So I was like in the middle of that. And
did he drink a lot of Merlot?
he reacted by banging a lot of chicks.
Yeah?
He had like a different girl over every night.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I was like, hey, this is getting dumb shit. This is actually...
Yeah, that's a good rebound.
Ever hook you up?
No.
No?
No.
not once. I didn't get laid once while I was there.
In France? 3 years?
No, I was at his house.
Mm. Oh. Yeah. Correction.
Yeah.
Did the French women make better lovers?
Yes. Than American women?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why?
Really?
American women are very, they're very suppressed sexually by both religion in America, mm-hmm. I think, and the feminist movement, which has kind of made them ashamed of wanting men.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of, that's why I fucking go off on women. I'm not really going off on women. It's really the feminist movement that I hate, mostly because of what they do to women.
Okay.
It's like.
But you're sort of more about talking about American women.
Yeah, it's American women.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you think Were you always this way, feeling about women? Or
no. The thing is, I love women. This is just a joke on stage.
Jeff actually hypothesized that to me. He said, I think it's a character.
Yeah, it's kind of a frustration mm-hmm. outlet, but it's exaggerated. Right. I don't actually think, basically I take the worst women and just dump it on all of them.
Right. No, but do you think you became that way from going to other countries and seeing that their women maybe were nicer or?
Yeah, that's part of it. Well, part of it is in other countries, women don't feel sorry for themselves the way they do in this country.
Okay.
And in this country, it's not really women's fault in this country. It's just we're kind of obsessed with pity, I think, in America, and that women are kind of susceptible to that. They tend to like pity.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you put that on them constantly, they're kind of like a man with power.
Right.
The man, the more power he has, the more he wants. With women, it's kind of the more pity they get, the more they crave it.
Right.
But actually, when I first started doing comedy, all my stuff was anti-men and pro-women, and nobody laughed. And then one day I did, like, in the middle of a anti-man thing, I did a little bit of an anti-women thing where I was like, are you guys stupid for wanting to be in the military? You had it good. And fucking got huge reaction and all the women going, ah. And I was like, it's funnier to make fun of women. Because it's okay to shit on men. So whenever I would shit on men, everyone would be like, yeah, we know we're a piece of shit.
But out here, I mean, a lot of time you're going to be doing open mics and stuff is performing for a lot of male comics. Maybe they react to that better, you know?
Well, I get whenever there's a lot of women in the crowd and I have a good set, like I deliver well, I get tons of women coming up to me, like either wanting to express their dislike or kind of wanted to tease me, like, what is up with this guy?
Uh-huh.
Like, you have a problem with women, and they want to. So they like to be tickled. You know, women like to have emotions riled up, even if they're not, like, happy necessarily emotions. You know?
Right.
I wonder what would happen, though, if you threw in a couple of the anti-male ones to balance it out, you know, and see how it would work if you started by shitting on yourself and then did some of that, you know? But you said you've
tried
that
I try to mix it up,
already.
And I'm actually right now I'm trying to lay off women a little bit just because the women's stuff, it's too... It's easy for me to come up with things on women.
Yeah,
naturally.
Yeah. So I want to feel like
you have a girlfriend too.
She's not my girlfriend.
Oh,
but I mean, I know more women than men.
Okay.
And I think the reason women do like me now, they didn't like me for a long time, and the switch I've noticed I made is that now I'm willing to be like, I don't put up with you.
Uh huh.
Like
you call them out.
Like
on
I'm
shit.
Not pandering to you. Like I see men, and they complain that they're being nice to women and they don't get women. It's like, well, it's because women want a guy who knows who he is. He stands up to them when they ask for something ridiculous. They know they're when they're asking for you to pay a bunch of shit, they're being ridiculous. They want to see if you'll stand up for yourself.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, like if you're too soft, they
if
walk
you're too
on
soft,
you,
that's not attractive to women. Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
once I made that click in my head. Because I was like, these assholes, they're such dicks, and they get women.
Yeah.
And so now the balance is, you're a little bit of a dick, but you actually treat them well, and then you get women, and they stay with you. You know, dicks who like jocks and frat boys, they get women, but they don't keep women.
It's true. It always surprises me, though. Whenever I hear women, like, singing along to Too Short or something, I'm like, do you hear what he's saying about you, though?
Yeah. Right.
You know, but they like it. That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, how do you go about writing? Like, what's your writing?
I kind of just have an idea in my head and just sort of
rant,
have a conversation in my head.
Right.
And then try to have that same conversation.
So you don't ever write pen and paper or on a computer?
I'll write down an idea.
Okay.
And then you work it out on stage.
Yeah.
Verbalize
it. I don't like memorizing. It doesn't come out naturally if I have it memorized, and I can never memorize it.
Okay. Yeah.
I just don't have a good memory like that.
Sometimes I notice when I do a joke, I'll be saying it out, and it'll be better like when I say it and then type what I just said as opposed to like typing it and then saying it, you know? So it's like more conversational, so I just say it out and then, okay, that's how I said that, you know?
So you had mentioned a couple weeks ago that you were actually at a feminist movement rally?
Yeah.
Is that a real thing?
No, so it was a physics talk
okay. That
I was going to. That I go every week. I don't know what the topic is. I could look it up, but I just go.
Right.
And it turned out to be why there's no women in physics.
Okay.
And it was really interesting because normally when you go to a physics talk or a scientific talk, I don't know if you've ever been to one.
No.
They're very heated arguments and lots of questioning from the audience. Like people are demand like, because everyone's an expert going, well, I don't agree with this, or you haven't demonstrated this, and there's a lot of discussion going on. Mm. And this was supposed to be a scientific talk, and there was no discussion.
Okay.
And the only people who said anything were men who's like basically to pander to women. We're like, oh yeah, women are great. And so I was the only one. I was looking at this. It was a sociological thing, which is, if you're a physicist, sociology is crap science.
Right.
And so I'm just like, you guys, this would never
fly.
Did
you say this?
Yeah, yeah. I was the only one speaking up, going, this is anecdotal. This is not, doesn't show anything. You haven't demonstrated anything. And, I mean, I'm not going to go into details, but...
Right.
Is that what you do grad school for, is physics?
Yeah, physics.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
Cool. Okay. Yeah.
And,
How was it received? Were people...
It was kind of a hostile environment,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of flourish in a hostile environment. So I was all
right
with it.
Right.
But I did have a professor afterwards came up to me, like, the next day, and he was like, you know, thanks for saying something, because nobody was willing to talk out of this fear of criticizing women because mm-hmm. it's a taboo subject.
Uh-huh.
But this is a scientific talk, and the whole point of it is... She actually made the argument, the reason maybe there's no women in physics is that because women don't deal well with criticism, and so they get, I don't know, they get made fun of in high school or something. It's like physicists get made, male physicists
right.
don't have an easy time in high school either, so it's a lame argument.
Mm-hmm.
But
is that the case then, that there's very few female physicists?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So no more so than in other sciences?
Then. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's interesting. Yeah.
But
did you have a theory as to why that was?
Well, my question was like, you haven't demonstrated that women even want to be physicists.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe women don't want to be physicists. That's why there's no women. Like, that's a perfectly plausible answer.
Sure. Not, you mean, well, as opposed to like there's some.
She's like,
of...
it should be 50-50. It's like, it's only 50-50 if 50% of the people who want to be physicists are women.
Well, you know, as a parallel thing, what about stand-up comedy? It seems like far less women go into it.
But then there's other things like nursing, far less men go into it, and nobody's complaining about that.
That's interesting, yeah. We always talk about, well, at least I always bring up that there's fewer women that do stand-up in San Diego, but they are usually pretty strong. They're usually very good comedians. And I had a friend say that she felt... that women like to go into things with a plan, whereas men are very overconfident and they really believe they can do anything. So you get, 550 comedians that think they're comedians, whereas you'll have a much lower number of women because they go into something like, I want to do it this way, and they're prepared, as opposed to sort of like, I can just do anything, you know?
Mm. Well, I think there's a thing in that... men can do that women have trouble with is a man can look himself in the mirror and say, I failed, and handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Like a woman, women, they have trouble taking a hit to their ego in that sense that like if they fail, they feel bad about themselves.
Right.
And then they have their performance the next time is affected by it.
Right.
And do you think that's more so in American women than in the,
no, that might be a female trait. I don't know actually.
Because you were saying that, you know, European women...
There is a confidence problem with American women.
Yeah.
Compared, particularly, like, Brazilian women are very liberated.
Okay.
They're very confident that we're women, and we're proud of it, and they just flaunt their femininity, and we can do what men can do, and we can do other things, and we can do better things than men, and we don't need a male approval to succeed.
How long were you in Brazil for?
Like 7 months.
Oh. But that was a fun time.
Oh, yeah.
Do you still keep in contact with your mom and your family and whatnot?
Yeah, yeah. They live in Colorado.
Would you be comfortable with your mom watching you just do
They stuff? Came to one show, and it is a little... Yeah.
She was upset?
No, she wasn't upset.
And you did your normal kind of jokes?
I don't remember what I did. Yeah, I did some kind of some sex jokes.
Right.
Which my mom, she's French. She's very sexually liberated.
Right.
Like, the first book we ever had when we were kids was a book on where babies come from. It was like this pop-up book with like anatomically correct people.
That sounds terrible.
Babies popping out of the book.
It was like a scientific book. Right. We loved it as kids. Like, this is fascinating.
Right, okay.
And when I was 16, my mom asked me, she was driving me to school, and she's like, "So Seb, have you had sex yet?" And I was like, "Oh, don't worry, I haven't had sex." She stopped the car. She's like, "What's wrong with you?
Wow.
You need to have sex. It's good for you. It's healthy." I was like, "I'm not."
So in France, when do people usually lose their virginity?
Probably around the same time as here.
Okay.
They're just not ashamed of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you be comfortable doing your very anti-women stuff if your mom was in the audience?
Yeah.
You would be comfortable?
My mom doesn't think too highly of American women.
Okay.
And she always says, like, "I hate the expression, hurt my feelings."
Okay.
She's like, whenever I see an American woman say that, I say, "Grow up. You're an adult. Nobody gives a shit about your feelings except for your husband."
Like, so it's almost genetic for you to be this way.
Well, yeah, it's probably a result of growing up in a different culture.
Right.
Where in that culture, like, women aren't felt sorry for so much.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason I wanted to have you on is because you are a good person off stage. You're very nice and friendly, but you come on to the show, and it just seems like sometimes... Like what you did at Winston.
Oh, I was in a bad mood. That was bad. Whew, I was so pissed.
Why were you upset?
I had kind of a shitty day, and I was like, "Oh, but I'm going to go on stage," and I was excited. This is going to make my day. And then the crowd was like, I hate it when the crowd comes to see one guy, and they talk through the rest of the show.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was watching that the whole time, and I was just like boiling and boiling, and then it just – and I was trying, I was like, don't – let it come out, and then it fucking came out.
It's hard sometimes to keep that in. I know how that is.
So, I mean, how would you rate your sets? Like, how do you, what
oh,
for you?
I would say 1 in 7 goes well.
1 in 7 goes
maybe,
well?
Maybe something like that.
Yeah. I mean, have you tried to write different styles of jokes?
I've tried to think about different things.
You're fairly new to comedy, so
yeah, I've only
evolution.
Done it for a year, and one of the things I did for a while was religious stuff.
Okay,
they're even more sensitive.
You like to go on all the taboo stuff.
Yeah.
So I do want to like have people question their beliefs or their norms at the same time that I make them laugh. That's sort of like what I'm trying to do.
Because you're a pretty smart person, so I think you do. You sometimes think you're talking down to people while you're on stage.
When it's to religious people, but it's like,
I guess coming from a scientific background, it's pretty hard to respect religion.
I mean, with the style that you do you mind that people kind of shit on you after?
No, I don't mind at all.
Okay.
Like your rant on me, I was laughing my ass off.
Okay.
I think a lot of comics have a problem with sort of criticism and being picked on.
You but also don't get hurt feelings.
I don't get hurt feelings from that. Right. I think if I'm willing to dish it out, I better be able to take it.
Okay.
That's a good approach for sure. That is a good attitude.
Because, I think definitely because you've stayed doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
So you're going to sometimes hear people that will say stuff. So if it really doesn't bother you, then I kind of have to respect that. You know?
I kind of encourage it too. I think it's good. I've learned way more from bombing.
Mm-hmm.
When I bomb, and then especially like when you went up, or an example like that is when you go up and then you kind of shit on me, it tells me why I was bombing.
Okay.
You know, or it helps me figure out.
You did say, "You probably all want to buy me a drink, but you're too fucking ugly." Which, there was hot chicks.
There were
some hot chicks,
Oh, my God.
I mean, have you ever seen Man on the Moon, the Andy Kaufman movie?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I mean, are you a fan? You know, when he was, like, wrestling women? I mean, did you enjoy that?
No, I didn't.
Rooting for him?
You didn't enjoy that?
No, I didn't actually think he was that funny.
Okay. Why?
And, because I felt like his comedy was more to make himself laugh than anyone else.
And that you don't feel that you're generally trying to make...
I am trying to make other people laugh. I agree that I certainly fail most of the time. But I've only been doing it for a year. You know, I don't expect to be good at it.
Okay.
Like, I'm old enough that I've learned that to be good at something, you actually have to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not... Nobody gets by on natural talent.
Right.
Like...
You have to practice like everything. That's a good...
Do you
attitude.
Record yourself a lot?
Yeah, I record myself.
How was that listening back?
You know, When it's good, I'm like, yeah, that's good.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when it's not, it gets deleted.
Okay. Because you do a lot of new material. A lot of times I'm seeing you do different things.
Yeah, I try to do... That's sort of the thing I haven't learned to do well, is to, like, practice the old stuff to keep it fresh while doing new stuff and get a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to learn to do that.
You know what I think is an evolution for you? Like, you're a worldly person and smart and clever in the writing. Like, I see Jeffrey Berner, when he first started, he had more shock kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And now he's turned a little bit, and he's really highlighting how smart he is in
his comedy. He's very creative.
Yeah. Really.
He's, 20 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's really getting good.
He's got serious potential.
I agree. I mean,
I would say the only thing with him is he has kind of a weird persona on stage, and he just maybe needs to develop some social skills.
You know, I saw him tonight. He was at Second Wind.
Yeah.
He took the mic out of the stand. He was moving around a little bit.
Did he really?
I think he really took our advice.
That's so cool.
Good to see.
Because all he needs is a little more confidence and protect, you know. And I noticed the last time I saw him at Winston's was he was sort of selling it like he believed in it a little bit more. He always struck me as he believes in it, but he was a little timid in the presentation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think the same with you is that, I mean, you already believe in what you're saying and you're confident in it, but I could see that same evolution of, like, he seemed to sort of hit that moment of going, you know, I think I can be smart and it can work.
Yeah.
And I could see that for you, that you could tap into that side of, you know, the fact that you've traveled and know physics and all this stuff, that the audience is a little beneath that, obviously.
Yeah, it's tough in the dive bars to do the intelligent stuff.
Yeah.
And in my experience, it's never worked, but I don't have that much experience either.
Yeah, but, you know, I would have never thought that Berner would have become as successful as he is. Like, I think at Winston's, he's really done well lately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those... Well, people always tend to think Winston's is dumber than they are. It's actually a pretty smart crowd.
Right.
They actually appreciate that. But it might be a good spot for you to expand on that stuff.
Yeah, I like going to Winston's.
Cerebral
Even when
stuff.
There's no one there, I kind of like the environment.
Yeah.
It's very relaxed.
Right. Well, you kind of talked about earlier that you used to do Bag on Men, and then you did the little snippet of the woman thing. Do you think if you did, you know, other jokes and then just did a snippet of Bagging on Women, that might work better as opposed to the whole time?
Yeah, it could. Yeah, it could. But what I have noticed is that whenever I go to a show with a woman, I'm funnier.
Okay.
Really?
Well, because she laughs.
Yeah, she laughs. And she... And the thing is, I think when I'm with a woman, I'm in a sort of happy mood.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed my sets from listening to them that when there's a woman there, I'm in that happy mood, I'm more silly than I am angry.
Right.
And then I'm funnier when I'm silly.
Yeah.
I think if you didn't come off so angry, you could pull it off better. You know, I think it's almost one of those things where I'm always against, like... Like, if you wore, like, one of those hats with, like, a little spinny thing on top or something like that and then did that material, people would know you were kidding, as opposed to, I think a lot of times people think you're serious.
Yeah.
So you're advocating a propeller hat for him, is what you're saying?
I just think...
That'll be my shtick.
I think if he did that, it would work. I think, seriously, and it's silly, but it's just like, you know, a lot of times we used to tell Wolpe, like, you can't dress like that and then talk like that, you know?
Yeah. So,
well, with Wolpe also, I thought that he seemed angry and bitter and, you know, different than he was offstage.
Right.
You know, offstage he's always smiling and happy and friendly, and you're the same way.
Yes.
You know, that when you go up on stage, you know, it should be sort of an amplified version of you. Or, I mean, it's a whole nother character. That's true, too. You know,
right.
I just think it's important to be likable. And, like, that's one thing that I always thought, you know, when Wolpe hit that, it was much more successful. Mm. You know what I mean? And especially when you're criticizing something. I remember, I think it was Zoltan who was talking about when you're doing crowd work and someone throws you off with a heckle and you want to decimate them with words. And if you do it while smiling, it seems to work. But if you do it and you're visibly angry,
affected by their heckle,
it doesn't work. Yeah. So it might be the same for you, that if you can present the exact same material but with a joyous presentation.
Yeah, every time I've done it and it's come off silly, I've gotten great results.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And the what's difficult for me is that I don't actually, when I am angry up there, I don't feel angry.
Mm.
Other people think I'm angry, but I don't feel angry.
Right.
I just sort of like to get passionate about it.
Yeah.
and it gets interpreted as anger, but I'm like, oh, I didn't even know. When people were telling me you're angry, I was like, I didn't even know. I didn't know I came off as angry.
It could be something as small.
The Winston's the other night, I knew.
Yeah, yeah, right. That was different. But it could be something as small as just smiling while
yeah.
you're doing it.
Yeah.
That might have some effect on the result.
Mm-hmm. You know, because it's just human nature. If you look angry, people are going to think you're angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but I didn't know I was looking angry.
Right.
That was
right.
the problem. So it took people to tell me. And I think that's a little harder thing is that because comics tend to be sensitive mm-hmm. to criticism,
yeah.
people are sort of hesitant to give you advice.
Right.
That's true.
You know. But I like it when comics come up to me and they're like, dude, this didn't work, this did, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know that everybody says it behind your back.
Yeah, I don't.
So, I mean, I've always been candid and told you.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why, I mean, I have no problem with you.
That reminds me, you know, we did the awards at the San Diego.
Yeah, I fucked up. I felt so bad. I really felt like I disrespected Bublitz. Because I had agreed to present the best female.
Oh God!
Yeah, that was what I was gonna say.
Yeah,
he was supposed to present
yeah.
the
and
best
I
female.
And I fucked up. I booked two things on the same night.
Okay. Because all right,
that's funny. I never knew that.
Yeah, story. But he got a bad rap from that because it was like saying we asked Septawa to present the best women. Best female comedian award.
Yeah.
And he didn't show up or he just said no. And
no,
I was like,
I said
he
yes.
didn't say, you know, but now we find out he didn't say no.
I was told, it was the same day I realized, shit, I have two shows tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're at the same time.
It was really funny though, because it was like, yeah, we asked him to do this, but no, he won't do it. And it was the legend grew. You know what I mean?
But plus, like the comedy, I don't know if it's normal, but God, there's so much gossip here. I don't know if
yeah.
that's normal comedy scene or if that's
I don't
the San
know
Diego
if it's
thing.
Normal either, but I think that
oh, it is.
That it is normal?
Yeah, anytime people are doing the same thing, there's people that are going to be talking about other people. That's
yeah.
just human nature. You know, especially here. I mean, if you're on the football team, there's going to be clicky people that are
yeah.
going to talk about
yeah.
other people. If you're on the drama team, you know, there's just going to be drama all the time. There's
yeah.
people that get involved with it, and then there's people that don't.
Right.
You know.
I mean, sometimes, like at Winston's, this happens all the time. There's always a group of comics in the back just talking super loud. You can hear them from the stage. I'm like, you guys, that's so
better,
disrespectful
though.
To the... You're a comic. How do you
yeah.
not respect the comic that's on stage? It boggles my mind.
That's gotten better, though.
Yeah.
I think it's because of the comics that used to come that don't really come anymore.
I have mm-hmm. to shush that lounge a lot when they are there,
yeah.
though. It's constant. I mean, they really should just go outside and talk.
Go outside.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You're the audience member. You could maybe see they're kind of oblivious to maybe
right.
what they're doing. But you're a comic. You know
well,
how much it sucks to for.
I agree, but
to
I think some of it is they don't realize how much their voice carries. They do the same thing at the Comedy Store. So if you're at the Comedy Store, they're all in the bar room. They're all talking
yeah.
and constantly have to be told to shush, even though they're not in the same room.
Yeah.
So it's like they're oblivious to the fact that how loud they are. You
but
know
see,
what I mean?
That's
inconsiderate.
That's
yes.
Inconsiderate to it be is. Oblivious of other people.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
You
but yeah,
be oblivious
I mean,
of other people.
Winston's is tough enough, but then when you get
yeah.
all the comics talking, it makes it rougher.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you know obviously they should go outside, take the conversation outside. But in general, I mean maybe I'm spoiled because I'm forced to watch the show. But I always think you would learn something by actually watching the comedy that's going
yeah.
on right in front of you.
But they don't,
especially if you're about to be going up. If you have to go up, like I. always watch the person before me so that I know what to do off of what they've done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or you kind of read the crowd a little bit,
right.
get an idea what they're responding to.
Yeah, it always mystifies me when people are in the back talking the whole time. Then they go up on stage and start bombing and start shitting on the crowd.
Yeah, and they're
like,
what's wrong with the crowd?
Yeah,
like, well,
you
haven't
didn't
been
watch any of it. Yeah, so.
So, I mean, obviously you're pursuing this physics degree. Is comedy basically just a hobby for you?
No. The other way around.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to pursue comedy?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Comedy.
Why are you doing? Why grad school? Why? Physics?
Well, I like physics too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
and it's a I do need a job.
Right. So you plan to do both?
Well, right now, sort of my tentative plan is it's going to take me like 4 years to get a PhD.
Okay.
And hopefully, I'm hoping I can like maybe save up enough money in those 4 years, and sort of build myself up enough that I can once I get my PhD. and I get kicked out of school,
right.
I can try to make it as a comic.
Some people say graduate.
But right. Kicked out of school.
So usually you get kicked out because people just hang around, and then your advisor's like, dude, you got to fucking get to work.
Right. I mean, how's the job market in that field?
Oh, it's great.
Really?
Yeah.
So once you, well, I mean, once
if you have a physics degree, you can get a job anywhere.
And what do you do? What would that job entail?
Anything that involves math or engineering or theoretical or teaching or a lot of physicists go to Wall Street because they're good with numbers.
Okay.
And they're just like, well, okay.
You have any interest in that?
No.
No.
No. I'm not interested in the money part.
Okay.
Like, Jeff's the opposite. He would like to take physics to make some cash.
To get a job, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's basically, it's my job, but I do love it.
Yeah.
So it's two, I'm just doing two things I enjoy.
Yeah.
Do you have any interest in going to Los Angeles or New York?
Have you been there before?
I used to live in L.A., and I fucking hate L.A.
Right.
New York is fantastic.
Yeah.
Except the weather sucks. But,
right.
So that's sort of the thing I don't know, is would it be better to move to L.A. or to New York?
Mm-hmm. Where in New York were you?
No, I wasn't in New York.
Oh, you just visited?
Oh, yeah, I visited.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. Because I feel like it would be tough to live there. I mean, I wouldn't want to live in L.A. either. But whenever I visited New York, I'm like, this is too much.
Yeah, but I've lived, like, I lived in Rio. There's a fucking enormous city. It is smaller than New York, but it's, you know. So I
How's
have
the public transportation there?
In Rio?
Yeah.
They have it.
Really?
It's pretty, yeah. They have, like, people, private vans, and they just drive along the street, and they say, we're going here, and you just hop on the van, and you pay them. And
so they don't have, like, subways or...
They do have a subway, too. Okay. They.
So it's normal.
It's normal, but it's not as organized as here. It's a lot more freelance. Okay. If you have a van, then...
That doesn't sound normal. Fucking vans?
They have public buses.
Okay.
And they have a subway.
Right.
But they also have, like, just private guys who just buy a couple of vans and drive people around.
Is it pretty inexpensive to live there?
It's not that cheap.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about half the price.
And you
here,
worked
maybe.
When you were at all these places?
No, I had saved up money.
Wow, you must have saved up a lot of money.
Yeah, I had a bunch of money saved up when I went to Brazil.
So you must have worked a lot in high school then.
I worked in high school
right.
and to get to Europe, and then I worked in Europe.
Oh, you worked in Europe.
Yep.
Okay. Not,
yeah,
I was thinking this whole time you were just...
Yeah, and I did work in Brazil the first time I went there.
Okay.
At a youth hostel,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of weird because I didn't speak Portuguese.
That must have been scary.
Yeah, I had to learn.
Yeah.
Basically, it was like, you got to answer the phone. I was like, I don't speak Portuguese. Figure it out. I was like, all right.
He's like, why would they hire you?
Because I spoke English, French, and Spanish.
Okay.
And so that was useful.
Yeah.
I'm at a youth hostel.
Okay.
They have people who speak Portuguese. They didn't have people who spoke.
So do you speak Portuguese now, too?
Yeah, now I speak Portuguese.
Jesus.
Four languages?
Yeah, four.
Wow.
You are smarter than everybody else.
I'm not.
Talk down to everybody.
Seriously.
I like
but, I know.
There is actually a thing that bugs me about this smartness stuff is that this attitude that being smart is like a thing you're born with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I might be smart. Well, I am smart, but right. it's because I've worked at it.
Yeah.
I wasn't born smarter than anyone else.
Right, you studied.
Yeah, yeah. It like drives me crazy. Like, my mom's always like, oh, well, I'm just not good at those things. Like, nobody is.
So your mom wasn't, is she as smart? Is she smart?
She's smart, but she kind of puts herself down with some, like, physics. She's always asking me about physics and stuff. She's like, I don't know how you could do that. I could never do it. It's like, because I was living at home when I was in college. I was like, you saw me. I never went out. I busted my ass, like, 24/7. I was in the library the whole time.
Right.
And when she says stuff like, oh, it's natural talent, like, kind of like, fuck you. Worked my ass off.
Right. How was your relationship with your mom?
Like, oh, it's great.
You had a good relationship?
Oh, yeah. My parents are fantastic.
Okay, and your parents are still together?
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's rare to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is.
It's especially because, like, my dad just sort of knocked my mom up. And it worked out.
And it made you.
Yeah, it made me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I could tell he was not expecting you to answer that. He thought you were going to say, my mom kept me in a pit. And
no, my parents were
no,
they're
the way
fantastic.
He's talked about her.
Forced me to put the lotion on the skin.
But my parents were always open to being questioned.
Yeah.
You know, some parents, they want the authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, my parents did that a little bit too, but... For me, probably the most liberating moment of my life is when I realized my parents are fallible.
Mm-hmm.
And they're no special. They're not special to... They could be wrong. And then once you can question your parents, you can question anything. You know, that's like the thing that your instinct as a kid is your parents are,
right?
Nobody knows better than them.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's very true.
And they were very open to that.
Is that kind of the French culture?
No, I think it's just
your
them.
Parents.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what culture is your dad?
He's Egyptian and Lebanese.
Okay.
And he's very like he grew up very like Jesuit Catholic school.
Strict.
In
he grew up here?
No, in the Middle East.
Oh wow.
So that's fucking hardcore Catholics. You know. So he's very like no authority.
Right.
Let people free their minds.
That's a weird pair. It seems like.
Yeah, they're an interesting pair.
Do you talk to your grandparents?
Yeah, they're.
They're okay with it? It just seems like they wouldn't be okay with that relationship.
No, they're totally okay with it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He was Catholic? What was she? She was...
Her mom is Catholic. My dad... My grandpa's not particularly religious. My grandma was super religious.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the Middle East, every school is religious, even if you're not.
Yeah.
Like...
Jeff thought you were Jewish.
No, I'm not.
No.
Damn.
Everybody thinks I'm Jewish.
Why do they think that?
I never thought that. Because I have... big nose or something.
I didn't think he was Jewish.
Even Jews think I am.
Is that right?
Yeah. When I was at Santa Monica College, there was like the Jewish group.
Uh-huh.
I was always recruiting. And every time I walked by, like, you're Jewish. I'd be like, no, I'm not. You're just doing that because you stereotype me. Like, don't complain when I do it to you.
You're Jewish. And you said, give me some money.
Well, finally, one time I said, are you saying that because of my nose? And he was like, oh. Because that was why he was saying it.
So he was
because
racist.
Because it just looks.
Uh-huh.
Like you. Just...
I had a professor think I was Mexican.
Really?
Yeah.
I
was in Spanish.
Cops think I'm Mexican.
Cops think you're Mexican?
That's just an easy way out.
You're a little bit brown.
It's so weird. Cops think Chip Nicholson's black, too. But the rest of us know better.
No, that's not true.
No, I was in... The professor had me come in,
mm-hmm.
and he starts speaking... I was in Spanish class,
mm-hmm.
and he starts speaking to me, and he says something about gringos. He's had some derogatory comment about white people.
Yeah.
And he goes on and on, and then I was like, I'm not Mexican. Yeah. And he was like, but your hair, like it was the way I had my hair slicked back or something.
Yeah.
And I spoke Spanish and I was Jesse. I guess he thought I was Mexican.
Hesse. He thought you were Hesse.
Hesse. I thought, okay. Hesse. I said, Egan, that's an Irish name. It's not Mexican, but okay.
Egando.
Egando. So anyway,
it's funny how
weird.
It's totally cool to just shit on white people. You can
yeah.
be like as racist as you want.
I think it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine, but it should be fine to do it the other way, too.
Yeah, I guess like you're right.
Right.
Equal opportunity.
Yeah. Do you have interest in other parts of comedy, or do you just want to basically do stand-up? Do you want to write? Or?
I like radio. I got a radio show at the university radio with like
I think I saw
three
that.
Listeners.
Yeah. What do you talk about?
I kind of look at the news and see if there's a funny story or...
Okay.
You
take guests or callers or anything?
Sometimes I'll have a guest.
Okay.
I try to take callers. Only one time somebody called.
Okay.
Nobody listens to it. I actually got censored the other day.
For what?
I said... I thought it was because I was hating on women. Because I was...
on the radio?
Yeah.
You were.
I was talking about the mayor's case.
Okay.
And about like half the women on there, they're complaining because they got hit on like 20 years ago. And I was like... Okay, some of these women have a case, but you don't. Why is nobody saying anything? You just got hit on. That's normal behavior. You know. And
yeah.
At one point I said something. Well, he came in and he shut me off. And so then I went to a meeting afterwards, like, why am I getting censored? And he said, well, you can't say...
cunt. You're not allowed to say cunt on the air.
What was it that
That's
I
what
said?
I heard.
Oh, women like to be touched, is what I said.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And then he didn't like that.
And in the meeting... He was like, you can't say that. And I was like, but they do like to be touched. And it was a room full of hipsters, and they were just like, get out. I didn't get out because I had to resolve this problem. It was
right.
But they just fucking hated me. And so I put this poll up on Facebook.
Oh.
And I was like, I would like you guys to tell me what reaction you have to this phrase.
Right.
I didn't tell them the story because I didn't want to.
And right.
All the women were like, yeah, it's true. We love to be touched. So I was like...
Next poll, little boys love to be touched.
Do you think it was the context of it? Because you were talking about a sexual harassment.
Well, the people in the meeting didn't know the context.
Okay.
They just heard it out of context. And that was the thing that I thought was interesting, is that they assumed touch to be malicious.
Mm-hmm.
Where I never made anything to suggest that it was malicious. It was just, touch is malicious when it comes from a man because
By censored, they mean they cut you off?
Yeah,
or
he told me.
Or just dumped you?
Well, he said, you got to stop talking about that. And I was like, well, that's what I had planned for the show. And I was like, fuck it. So I left.
Are you still doing shows there?
Yeah, I'm still doing shows.
So he was okay with you coming
back?
Yeah.
And so in the meeting, I was like, well, I don't actually know what I did wrong. He was like, well, you can't say that. I was like, okay, that's an example, but I need to know what the underlying rule is, because then there's going to be another thing.
Right. You know?
And so he's going to send me the school policy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And how'd you get a show there? You just asked?
I just asked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Is this the first time doing radio?
I did it last quarter.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what the thing is, like, fucking last quarter I shat on men like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, because I was still doing that stuff, stand up, and I shat on like Jews and.
As a Jew, you can do that.
Yeah, yeah. And religious people and politics and just all sorts of people, and nobody ever said anything. And then I said one little thing about women, and people flipped out.
Okay. That's interesting.
So do you think, because the way you grew up like always questioning your parents, that's kind of gotten into your stand-up? Like you're kind of questioning things that's important to
you? Well, the reason I think I grew up questioning my parents was because I grew up in three different cultures, and they have three different social norms.
Right.
And nobody teaches you, because I grew up here, so my parents are from two different cultures. Nobody says, oh, well, this is the social norm in France, and this one's the one in America.
Right.
And so I would go, like, to school, and I get yelled at. You know, you can't do that. And I just, I don't know why.
From stuff like what?
I got yelled at a lot for putting my left hand on my heart when we did the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, that why?
Because I'm left-handed.
Okay.
It was a six-year-old kid, you know? It was just an instinct. Put your hand on your heart. Okay. And the teachers fucking hated it.
So it wasn't as like a disrespectful thing?
I didn't think. She was saying it was. She was like, that is so disrespectful. And I asked one time why, and she sent me to the principal's office. She didn't answer it.
I still don't know why.
And the next time I did it again, because I'm a six-year-old kid, I'm not paying it. I'm just thinking about recess. And she was like, you need to be proud of your country. And I was like, I'm French. I'm not even a citizen. Like, you know that. She sent me to the principal's office.
Oh, wow. So no one ever clarified it for you?
Nobody. And so I sort of picked up quickly that a lot of these rules are arbitrary.
Right.
Because my parents were okay with some, or my dad's family was okay with some, my mom wasn't. And
so they must have told your parents. Did your parents ever tell you anything?
No. They didn't tell my parents. Because I think the principal at that school was kind of cool. Because he was like, why are you here? I was like, I don't know. He was like, all right, just sit down. You can go back to class later.
I used the wrong hand.
So you were only six at this time.
That's pretty early memory.
Yeah.
Is that probably one of your earliest memories?
No, I got memories back to like 3 years old.
Wow. What is your earliest memory? Last week?
Yeah. What time is it? I don't know. No, I remember maybe when I was really little in West Virginia. I think one of my earliest memories is my mom making me or bathing me in like this copper kettle thing.
That's an early memory too.
Yeah, and it's still at her house. So when I see it in the basement or whatever, I always have this weird. Yeah, and it's tiny.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, how did that?
And probably in your memory, it's big.
Yeah, it was a weird memory. It was like being outdoors bathing in this kettle thing.
Yeah, I don't.
But that was really small. I mean, I was probably two.
Really?
That's probably the earliest.
That's even earlier. That's crazy. Yeah, you can't even remember when we're having the podcast.
Well, I wasn't smoking weed when I was two.
It's funny because my memory of my childhood is better than my adult memory.
Yeah. Yep.
I have more vivid memories of my entire childhood. I can remember everything from like 3 years old, like just what my regular day was like. It's not just blips.
My short-term memory is shit, but I have pretty decent long-term memory.
Yeah, I'm like you.
I don't have a lot of early memories. I know one of early memories I have. I don't know how old I was, but they were playing the. I heard it through the grapevine at a basketball game,
mm-hmm.
and I got up and started dancing with the California Raisins that were there.
That's awesome.
So that was an early memory.
How old do you think you were?
I couldn't tell you. 4 or 5, maybe older. I don't know at all. I mean, I used to do stupid stuff like that.
Then nobody filmed that or anything. They didn't get that.
This was.
Yeah, 80s. having a camera back then was a big production.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, once we got a camera, I used to make videos. Like, there's videos of me, like, doing the Bill Cosby dance and things like that. Like,
so you were in a comedy, like, right from a kid.
Yeah. I mean, I was always a funny kid. And I remember the point I was in, I was older, but, like, fourth grade, I remember I made my friends laugh, and I was like, I'm going to be funny kid now.
That's my thing.
I'm
going
to be the funny kid now.
Like,
I was always
kind
of, yeah. I wasn't really the class clown because I was still good at school. I was never be one of those people that are, like, trying to be funny.
Yeah.
You know, those annoying people. But I was, like, voted the funniest kid or class clown in middle school, you know, in eighth grade or whatever.
And
I
got, were you a CEO?
Class clown and CEO.
Class clown and CEO?
No.
Jeff Philadelphia?
I didn't get that on my resume.
Oh, damn it.
And then I was, like, second in voting in high school. But I was never one of those people that was trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be funny in a group, but in the class, like, I would just shut up, you know, and do the work.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, I was funny growing up, you know, but.
I was the same way. I was a good student, but, you know, would try to make people laugh, too.
Yeah.
Because I get bored easily. So if I'm in class and I'm not interested, it depended on the teacher. If the teacher was good I was interested, I would pay attention. Yeah. I would absorb it.
Right.
If the teacher was shitty, I would not respect it at all.
Yeah. Because anytime we'd get to do, like, a class project or whatever, I'd always make a video. Like, I'd just always do that. That was just fun for me.
Yeah, those are fun. I did a lot of those, too.
So, yeah, you didn't kind of really answer the question as far as, do you want to just do stand-up or do you want
to... I'd like to. I mean, radio seems to be fun.
Okay, radio.
I have a friend who I went to, another physicist who's at UC Irvine now, who is fucking hilarious, and we have great connection. Like, our minds work. I would love to do a show if I could convince him, like, we have a show together.
That's, what do you mean, by like a TV show?
No, a radio show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We have funny conversations,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
And interesting ideas, and he thinks a lot like I do in the sense that he likes to question things. And we.
Okay.
That might be a good podcast to do together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But he has a girlfriend now. And when a physicist gets a girlfriend, that's it.
Because it's a rare thing.
That's rare. It never happens.
Why?
There's no girls in physics, and it's like the nerdiest dudes.
Right. Do a lot of physicists go gay? Do they go that
route? No, I think they just masturbate.
It's like being a priest.
They masturbate. Do they then calculate the trajectory afterwards?
Where's it going to land? Try to do a
ballistic. Looks like 1.27 million per term.
Bar graphs and shit like that.
Yeah.
But no, they actually, a lot of them just talk like that. They can't get out of it. You'll be like at a social situation and everything's in terms like, oh, and it's like the graph and this is the what. And you're like, dude, you can't talk like that. And then complain that no woman wants to
talk
to you.
Right.
I bet Einstein got a lot of pussy, right? You see that tongue?
Yeah, he did, actually.
Did he?
After he became famous.
Oh. Okay.
Because he was one of the most famous dudes around. Back then, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't like TV or like... But there's a physicist named Richard Feynman who was notoriously known for being a ladies' man, and all the physicists love him.
Uh-huh.
They all have posters of him.
Yeah, he was a great physicist.
Right.
But there were other ones that were just as good, but because he was a ladies' man, that's like, oh, that's that guy.
He
figured
the,
something out no other physicist figured out.
Wilt Chamberlain of physics,
yeah.
Huh?
But do you think a physicist would be good at sex because they could calculate all the right angles in which to please a lady?
Yeah, you'd think so.
I'd actually have to move your arm up just a little bit here. Oh, how does that feel?
We're going to need more specific gravity on your clitoris.
Taking measurements of your vaginal canal and figure it out.
That would be a lot of calculations to do right away, though.
Yeah, but would you want to be like an actor or would you like a foreign comedian?
No, I'm not a good actor.
Okay.
I'm not a good liar.
Okay.
I can't, like, do something that's not myself.
Mm-hmm.
And every time in my life that I've ever tried to lie, I was...
Get caught right away.
Caught, like, right away. So now I don't even bother. I don't even try. I'm just like, it's not even worth it.
So you don't lie to anybody?
No. And it does cause problems.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Really?
In relationships, I'd imagine.
Yep.
Really?
Well, you have to lie to women. I mean...
You
just
do,
about
but
stuff.
Yeah, and so that's you kind of. I try to.
You mean to spare their feelings with things,
do I look today? And you'll just
well,
be
some yeah, that one, but that one I've learned to be like, you look good, but this thing right here,
right,
could be better if you did this thing.
Okay,
you know, but there have been times where like, I had a girlfriend who was going to work. And she would always put way too much makeup on. I was like, you're really beautiful. And most women put makeup on to look like you.
Right.
And you don't need all that makeup. And so she's getting ready. I'm like, careful with the makeup. And then she fucking caked herself. She's like, how do I look? And I was like, you got too much makeup. And she took it really bad.
Really?
Like, I spent 2 hours getting ready. Now I go to work. And you said I looked bad. I was like, I was just trying to help you out.
My first girlfriend was like that.
Really?
I only saw her without eyeliner like twice. Hmm. So she looked weird when she didn't wear eyeliner. She was like a redhead fair skin, but I never knew what she looked like without eyeliner or whatever the shit they
mascara
put,
or whatever,
whatever the stuff they put on their eyelids, which. Why are you fucking putting shit on
the
your
black
eyelids?
To make your eyes look like deeper and darker?
The eyes look more intense. You know, they really stand out when they. But, eye makeup is like the biggest, I think the most drastic thing. You know, when women use lip gloss and things like that, they still pretty much look the same. But the eyes, they really, it really makes a difference. You know, I know girls like that, when I do see them without the makeup, it's like seeing a different person.
Yeah, I didn't even recognize her.
Well, eyes is really the only one where I say I'm kind of okay with.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the makeup really any. I don't like lipstick or like the stuff they put on their face when you can just see it
pancake,
caked on there. I'm like, I'm not going to kiss that. The fucking chemicals and like, I don't know what the fuck that is.
So have you had long relationships?
No, because I've...
Because it can't lie.
I've been traveling around all the time.
Right, right, right. Well, so, you were in France for a long time.
Yeah, but I was not good with women when you're 20.
Okay.
I think I got
What's the drinking age there?
It's 18.
Okay.
No, it's 16.
Okay.
But nobody gives a shit.
Wow.
Like,
really?
You can't go in a bar, but
you
could go to the store and be like, buy a bottle of wine, and they'll be like, at most, be like, what is this for? And be like, oh, I bought it for my parents. I'm like, all
right.
They don't care.
Nobody
cares.
Very
free flowing
yeah.
there.
Did the condoms look like little berets in France?
Is the food better over there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you guys were kind of talking about the food earlier.
Well, we were talking in the break about the fact that whenever we go to Europe, it always feels like quality versus quantity. Like here, everything is sort of plasticky, styrofoam, mass-produced quantity, whereas there's more craftsmanship and, you know, attention to the aesthetic and the quality of something in Europe. It always feels less artificial to me.
Yeah, we were talking about how my experience when I've been traveling is that the most common question I'm asked by, and it's by women usually, is why are American women, I don't know if it's so scared of men, but like, why are they repulsed by male sexuality?
Mm-hmm.
Or how come when they see a naked man, their reaction is to scream? They're like, if I saw a naked man, I don't want to look.
Right.
You know, they're just like, don't American women like sex? That's a really common question. I'm asked. Like, well, yeah, I think so.
But then it's not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, so why don't they pretend that they don't? I was like, well, it's a very religiously suppressed sexual society. But at one point, that's not an excuse anymore.
So
you gotta.
Are women, is whore in the vernacular in France?
Of course.
Okay.
That is a universal term.
Right, but I mean, if
it's a lay whore.
So if a woman was to sleep with a lot of guys, it wouldn't be a big deal, though, is what I'm trying to say.
No, she'd still be a whore.
Okay.
She would still be considered, like, it's actually probably easier to get a one-night stand with an American chick.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah. Even in Brazil. Like, a Brazilian girl is extremely sexually just liberated, but she won't fuck you on the first night.
Why is that?
Because she doesn't... She kind of values herself more. She's like, I like you, and I'm going to hang out with you, and then I want to fuck you, but I don't want to be cheap.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm like that, too. Yeah. There's so many chicks that I didn't want to have sex with because I like them too much, and then they ended up leaving, so I never had the chance to have sex with them.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's so many times that's happened.
So you actually turn them down? You're saying, no, not tonight,
I just
honey.
I didn't.
It's a good move to turn them down.
Yeah.
To the next level.
Let's just read books together.
Yeah,
that's happened.
Yeah.
Read to each other. Spoon.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, going forward, you just want to try to get better with comedy and focus.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sort of practicing as much as I can.
Do you work as well?
Yeah, I mean, grad school. I get paid in grad school.
Oh, you get paid in grad
school? Yeah, yeah.
Why is that?
Because it's science. They get funding. So, you know, I don't have a research group yet, but presumably when I do, they're making money off of my research.
Okay.
So
that's pretty interesting.
And if I invent something or get some sort of patent or discovery, they have a claim to it.
Mm-hmm. So just going to class, they pay you. It's not like certain.
Well, I get paid technically to TA.
Okay.
And then it would be once I get a research group, I get paid for research.
Okay.
But I don't pay for classes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're in English, you would actually pay for grad school.
Right.
So they cover all my expenses for grad school, and then they offer me jobs to TA.
Is that because
or
there's
research.
So few people that really get into that field?
No, it's just because there's a lot of funding in physics.
Okay.
You know, a lot of military funding and just
What kind of money do you get starting off in physics?
So if you have a bachelor's and you just want a job, probably entry level, you could get like $75,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, are you going to start studying physics after this?
If you have a PhD, it's going to depend what you do, but if you stay in physics, you'll probably make, I would guess, like $100,000 a year.
Just to start.
Yeah, I mean, sort of a general average.
Right.
It's going to, I don't know exactly.
Pretty good.
But it's good. It's not going to be something where you're going to get super rich,
yeah,
but you'll always be set.
You'll be all right.
Yeah.
So you think you're going to stay in the States going forward?
Yeah, because comedy is way better in the States.
Okay.
I was telling him during the break that it's way more advanced than anywhere I've ever seen.
Right.
And I think it's because there's been so much TV here.
So you've seen comedy in other spots?
Yeah.
Other stand-up?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty good. And stand-up is relatively new in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there maybe 10 years, but compared to here, it's relatively new.
Right.
And so they have some good stuff there.
Okay.
But like in South America, comedy is like at the level that it was in '40s or something here.
Okay.
It's like slapstick.
And maybe we should move there.
Yeah.
It would be.
Because they
amazing.
Have like three TV stations.
Right.
Right? So here you've got hundreds. So
right.
You've got all these different outlets. Most of them suck, but the good ones are going to get on.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it just like evolved much quicker.
In France, they still like Jerry Lewis. Is he still big there?
You know, I don't even know where that stereotype came from.
Oh, okay. I heard he's big there, like Hasselhoff is big in Germany.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming up to the end. We got a couple questions that we all... Jesse, do you have anything else?
Oh, there was some Facebook questions, but if you wanted to...
Why do you hate women? It's got to be on there.
I'm sure that's on there. I think that's probably repeated
kind of
several times.
We've already covered all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
If there's anything... I didn't even know you made a post.
I did. I made it kind of late, so we'll see how many responses there are. But what do you think about the comedy festival, by the way? Did we talk about that at all?
I don't actually know anything about it.
Yeah, I don't really know much about festivals in general, but it's amazing to see how many people kind of...
It's at the comedy...
On the Palace,
The Palace?
Yeah. So let's see here. Well, Mario Man had a question, I think, for us.
What did he have?
He said, is your podcast still on iTunes? Because I subscribe to it, but I don't get new episodes anymore.
He's on the wrong one.
Mario's on the wrong one?
Because I have three different iTunes, which I think with this one I'm going to take it to four. Because I've just maxed out all the other ones. So I can only have so many episodes. So it's only I can fit it to about 25 per Podomatic page.
Oh.
So once I hit that point and it's full, I have to open up another one. So he's on the wrong one.
So what does Mario have to do to find...
Just search my name in iTunes, and they'll show three different ones, and they'll just have to find the one that's right.
Bijan said, what made you want to do comedy, and do you really hate women?
But no, I think women are the most wonderful thing in life, but...
We covered that one.
Yeah.
We covered that, yeah.
Why did you just... this is Peter Bannick. Why did you decide to write misogynistic stand-up instead of, say, a misogynistic blog?
Well, that's funny because I would say that myself is not misogynistic. It's chauvinistic.
Uh-huh.
It's not hatred towards women. It's like we have done better than you as men. Most of my stuff, I think, is more in that line.
We have done better than
like,
you?
Like men have been more successful than you. Like show some appreciation for men, goddammit. You know, like...
Isn't that misogynistic
no,
in a way?
No, that's chauvinism.
Is it?
Yeah, so misogyny is that I hate women. Chauvinism is that I think men are better.
Okay.
But I don't actually think that. That's just a joke.
I got you. That's interesting. David Zafra says, is the respect of your peers something that you strive towards? And if so, do you think you've achieved it?
That's a good question. I want the respect of people who put me on a show in the sense that, like, I'm reliable. And that's why, like, when I flaked out on Dan Bublitz, I was very upset with myself.
Yeah.
Because he was doing me a favor... And I let him down, and that...
Did you message him and tell him?
Yeah, I told him I'm really sorry.
Okay.
You know, because I didn't leave him, like, I messaged him earlier. I was like, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Is there, you know, I don't want to fuck you over.
That's all you can do, really.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And, but actually, like, I don't go out trying to get respect from other people. I mean, that's not really a motivation.
Right.
Right, because you got a lot of other stuff going on, so making friends with comedians really isn't that
important. Yeah, and actually, I kind of find a lot of the comedians here to be very disrespectful of other comedians when they're on stage, right. Like I was saying at Winston. So mm-hmm. I kind of like, well.
So you just kind of want to do your time and get out of there?
I would, no. Well, I would like to know comedians, but I don't particularly, I'm not particularly interested in impressing any of them.
Right.
You know? I'd like to know them in the sense, I mean, they're fellow colleagues.
Right. Yeah.
And if I make friends, have a good connection with them, great, but it's yeah. not, I'm happy alone.
Mm-hmm. It's more important yeah. to impress the audience, I suppose, yeah. than it is yeah. to impress the other comedians, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, so you said when you take a girl to a show, it seems to go better.
Yeah.
What do they feel? I mean, do they feel uncomfortable?
So that girl, Kemi, the black girl, mm-hmm. the first time I hated on women, she was a little upset, and she was like, I felt, and I was like, it's just a joke, baby.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, okay. And she figured out pretty quickly, because at home I'm not like that.
Right.
So she knows if I was like that and beating the shit out of her at home, she'd be like, you know. So, but
this is the punchline.
But I don't like dating girls who don't have a sense of humor. So
right.
if I go out with a girl, like the first thing I'm doing is I'm just making as many stupid jokes as I can. And if she's not laughing, then I'm not going to call her back.
Right. Okay. Well, what is the last couple of things? What's the worst show you've ever done?
Yeah, it's always a good question.
Oh, I mean, that one at Winston's was up there for
that
sure.
That was the one, really?
That was up there.
Because you lost your temper or what?
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably... And it's not like... I wish I knew how to lose my temper in a funny way.
Yeah.
Because some
hard,
you see
though.
Angry comics and they're funny, and I haven't figured out how to be angry and funny.
It's difficult. I've yeah. been thrown off. I remember once at Queen Bee's, I think I told someone... I hope you get ass cancer or something.
That's kind of funny.
It was, yeah, but I went on and on. It was mean. I mean, I hated them so much. Like, I kind of get the Kramer thing.
Yeah.
You know, when Dave Chappelle was talking about that, like, part his black side is offended, but his comedian side gets it.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it. It was like, when I first saw it, I was like, wow, that's really fucked up. But being a comedian for longer, I'm like, I get it. You want to say the most hurtful thing to these awful
yeah.
people that just
yeah.
ruined your set. And, like, tonight at the Wood, the first 10 minutes I just spent thinking of insults. Why did I pronounce
insults.
It like that?
Of insults.
Insults for these people in the front row that were just ruining everything. I just, all I could think of was how am I going to deal with that?
Mm. Well, there's like Bill Burr, I think, does it really well because he gets angry, but you can tell he's not actually angry.
Yeah.
He's just, I'm happy shitting on you. I'm still having a good time. You haven't actually gotten to me.
Right.
And I think that's if they get to you, that's when it actually comes out. You lose control of it.
Yeah.
Seems to me.
Mm. I think a lot of that is in looking like you're still enjoying it and
yeah.
you're still smiling.
Yeah.
And, you know, because like Daniel Tosh, I mean, he shits on people the whole show, but mm-hmm. he's always got a grin on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you never really, it's never really that harsh or you take it that seriously, you know?
What's the best show you've ever done?
I did a show at the store mm-hmm. once. I got like applause breaks and.
Do you remember the jokes you told that night?
Yeah, so I did some man hating, and then I went into some women hating, and sort of segued into it.
Okay.
And it was saying that men, women should be running the world because men are violent. Basically, I mean.
Yeah.
And then. Then I went into, like, women are – they protested the Catholic Church because women can't be priests. I'm like, really? Like, that's the thing you're protesting?
Right.
You know?
I think I remember that, but it was a why do you want to be a priest kind of thing.
Yeah, like, you don't even want to be a priest. You just want what men have. That's the only thing. You don't actually
– That's interesting, though, that set went well when you sort of
– It went really well.
Had both sides
yeah.
of it. You balanced it out.
And this girl afterwards was like – came up. She's like, you – she was all over me. She was like, you have a problem with women.
Ah!
She was loving it.
Yeah.
You know, because it, like, tickled her.
Why did you choose to not do that style anymore? Kind of a mixture of
both. Well, I sort of dropped that set because that was one that worked. And
okay.
then so, and I'd still do it once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a long bit, too, and I can't do it in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Mm, interesting.
But what I'm saying is going from, you know, some shitting on men and some...
Oh,
shit,
yeah, yeah.
Why have you chose to not...
That it's because when you shit on men, it's a lame excuse that shouldn't use it as an excuse. It's harder to make people laugh when you shit on men.
Mm-hmm.
And with women, you shit on women because you're not supposed to. Everybody's, you're going to get a reaction.
Right.
Whereas when you shit on men, people are like, yeah, we know.
Right.
Yeah.
I think your biggest issue right now is just to figure out a way to make people know that you're joking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think you can still do that style, you know, but I think it's just something like a funny shirt or kind of even not obviously not wear a stupid hat, but like a, just a funny shirt or, I don't know, a weird wristband, something that shows that you're on, you know, kind of you talk about Andy Kaufman and you may not think that you're doing it just for you, but sometimes it comes off.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. And like when I did Winston's and you went up and said your opinion, you said one thing that was that you saw like the anger in my eyes, and that was, I was like, oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I think you can pull it off if you are truly committed to that, what you're doing. You just have to figure out a way that people know that you're kidding.
Yeah, and I've done it. I've pulled it off.
Right.
And I'm always like, whenever I go, I was like, okay, I got to do what I was doing then. And I think that's another thing that's hard is to, even if you haven't had a good day or you're not in the right mood, to get in the right mood when you get on stage. Right.
That is difficult.
Yeah.
You film yourself at all so you can
see? Yeah, I film. Or... if I can film, yeah. I'll film.
That's good.
Yeah.
And have you done... do you drink at all?
Not really, and I never drink before I go on stage.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that I would wonder if you had a beer or two, if that would loosen you up.
No, it makes me forget, because I rarely drink, so I have one beer and I'm already buzzing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And you never performed when you drank?
When I first started, I did it.
Okay.
And then I immediately went, like, I need to be able to do this sober.
Okay.
And so I started doing it sober, and then one time I just had a beer for the hell of it, and I went up and I just couldn't remember... anything. I was like, oh, how did this go? And I was like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore.
You know, when we do the class, we had a couple people that have, they have a set that's really targeting different people and criticizing them. And my sort of reaction to it was that if they made fun of themselves first, that people would be more receptive to hear the other targets of the abuse. And in this case where you're talking about balancing out and saying that sort of talking about shitting on men is more difficult, which it may be, but that might be the challenge that you face.
That's the challenge I got to face.
And when you do it, it's sort of including yourself in the criticism. So it's like when you see Brian Regan doing stuff about idiot men, he's including himself into it.
Yeah.
And he's portraying that as like, oh, we're stupid and I'm stupid too. But they love him for it, you know. And then I think it gives you license to then go ahead and attack any subject at that point because you've sort of been able to be vulnerable first and attack yourself.
Yeah, you've established that you're willing to laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
And so... now, if I'm laughing at someone else, they should be willing to laugh at themselves, too.
Right. Right. So that might be the next challenge for you.
Yeah, that is actually the next challenge.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to... or even just do other material that's not related to men and women.
Mm.
Well, absolutely. Definitely. Challenge. But, you know, I think it's comedy's so interesting to me after a while. It's not like physics, but there is a science to it. And figuring out those
formulas
nuances.
How to, like... because you're playing on people's emotions, and so you want to get them in one way, and then now that you have them there, you've got to bring them somewhere else. And
you can't just automatically
tell a joke and expect them to get your humor.
Right. And it's amazing how like you can't always expect something to work. It's so nuanced. Like when something works one place, it doesn't work others.
It's amazing. It's just like very subtle way
really
of saying
small.
It.
Yeah.
And makes all the world different.
Because some of it is you, and then there's a portion of it that's the audience and the chemistry with them and those individual people right then. It's a different moment every time.
Yeah.
It's kind of trying to figure out how to maximize the success so that the most amount of times you get a good reaction. It's really difficult. But
yeah. And it's hard because I was like, oh, I'm funny, because I was a little bit class clown as a kid, and my friends... we're like, oh, you're funny, but when it's your friends, they know you.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't have to establish anything.
Right.
You just make a joke, they immediately know where you're going.
That's absolutely true.
And so then you go up on stage, and you're like, oh, this made my friends laugh, and you do it, and then they're just like, I don't get it.
Yeah. No, that's so true. You know, a lot of criticism that we get in comedy from, you know, we send out videos to bookers and things like that, they will say, even if your material's good and your presentation's good, a lot of times they'll say, well, I don't know who you are. I don't know your voice. They're looking for that understanding of your persona first, so they can follow you.
Yeah, the audience has to connect with you.
Yeah.
To then like be taken on the trip.
Yeah, I'm still really trying to figure that out.
It's very difficult.
Satisfy that need for them to know you enough, you know, be personal enough in your comedy that they're
Seb does have a voice though.
Absolutely.
I think he talks about more opinions than we talk about.
Absolutely, know? He
so
does.
You do have that. You just need to figure out how to make it that's more appeasing to the audience.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Which, you know, some...
Or is it appeasing, or is it just so they know where you're coming from,
yeah,
in a way? Like, so that they know why you feel this way, you know?
And I think if you almost... I don't know if it'll help or hurt, but to talk about the travels that you got and why you have these opinions and, you know, you actually have background, you know,
yeah,
to feel this way. You know, I think that might help too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we are coming to the end. Do you have any questions for us?
Well, how did you guys get
touch dicks?
How did you guys touch dicks?
Dick touching. Well, we were in a physics class together,
yeah.
And actually, it was chemistry.
We had it.
Pure chemistry.
How did we start doing comedy together?
Yeah, because you guys are kind of a team, both on the podcast and at Winston's. And
yeah. Jeff's memory is better than mine.
I was about 5-6 months into comedy, actually 4 or 5 months. And, I had been going to Winston's week in and week out cause I lived in OB and Bob Hansen was leaving, Winston's, which I didn't know about, but I was talking to bars and thinking about opening my own show. And it just happened one night where I was at Winston's on a Friday and I talked to Jesse about possibly helping him run it. And then we didn't really know each other at that time.
Oh, and it just sort of clicked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just slowly grew because, we didn't really, because I used to just do my set and leave. And I remember you saying something to the fact that, you know, you're going to have to stay till the end.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah.
How long have you guys been in San Diego?
I mean, I've been here 7 years. He's been here long.
Yeah, I've been here like 14, 15. Yeah, I've been here a while.
Yeah.
And you never tried to move to a different city?
No, I lived in my city in Maine. I mean, I lived in Biddeford, which is part of... And then I lived in Gorham with college.
But, I mean, do you think San Diego is a good place to make it as a comic?
Make it,
Or do you think you got to move to a different city at some point?
I think you need to move at a certain point.
Yeah.
I believe that. I think... But there's a lot of good things that are happened in the last few days. You know, we get an opportunity. We're going to be expanding this podcast to an online radio station,
mm-hmm,
which that happened. And then the Palace has been receptive to possibly helping us do a weekend there a month or something like that.
Yeah.
So I've got some opportunities, you know.
The comedy class has been really good for us, too, I think. I think we've gotten a lot out of it, you know. Not even money. The money's been a minor thing, I think.
Right.
But the satisfaction that you get from it.
Right.
I think it's helped our comedy a lot.
But in order to get TV or anything like that, or really get, I mean, in order to become really a touring comic, you almost have to get a credit on TV.
Yeah.
In order to get a credit on TV, you've got to be in L.A.
Yeah.
Or New York.
Yeah.
And New York's even harder, but New York's more strictly stand-up. You know, but if all these things come together, you know, I would be content being in San Diego.
Yeah, but at some point, are you planning on making the move at some point?
Yeah. I've been seriously thinking about going to New York, you know, in March.
Mm. So, okay. So recent or soon.
Yeah. So, but I mean, if all this stuff is working and I'm still happy here,
yeah,
then I'm not going to go, you know. But if, like right now, I'm looking for a job. I don't have a job. Well, I work like 20 hours a week, which isn't enough. And so it's just hard. I mean, I went to a job interview the other day and I was in there for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
The guy looked at my resume, up. All right, well, see you later.
So that went well.
I've sent out my resume to like 150 places. It's like,
do you ever use one of Renee's fake email addresses when you do that?
How does that work? 619. Fuck my nuts.
Master 69. Yeah, that would be funny.
I mean, I've been doing it almost 5 years, so it's like.
So you started doing it here.
Yeah, I'd always wanted to do it since I was like 14, but there was only one comedy club in Maine, and they didn't have an open mic. So, yeah. But that's the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's on us.
I've thought about moving as well, but for me, I have like a good full-time job managing Winston's.
Oh, okay.
And it's sort of like I see all my friends from the Comedy Store go up to Hollywood, and nothing really has happened because there's just too many people doing that same thing.
Yeah.
And my feeling is I can get better here than I could if I went up there.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think I'm good enough yet to really make a big splash in LA. But the longer I'm here, I'm building like, almost, you know, I think I have a pretty good like clean hour at this point. So I'm getting closer to it.
Do you ever just go up there like?
I've gone up there a few times, but it hasn't been good. Hmm. I haven't enjoyed it at all. And, you know, I like it here. I would like to go visit there and stay with Lauren or whatever and check it out and do more of the rooms up there. But I don't know. I always think that I am getting better here by getting longer sets. Like I got to do 20 minutes tonight, which I don't think you could get to do in LA unless you get a real big favor. You know, in a week you might get 20 minutes. Yeah. You know what I mean? So those longer sets, it's really good practice for me.
Yeah.
You know, and
keep an audience.
Right.
You know, for 20 minutes.
And an antagonistic audience. Like tonight, I mean, they were really, it was a fight to keep them involved. You know what I mean? I had to talk right to those people. So I felt like it was good training. You know what I mean? To try and keep practicing that way. I feel like will prepare me. It's like doing touring comedy when you do it in different places too, where you you just get better going to war for longer periods of time. So that's kind of my thought on it.
Cool. Anything else? You good?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
it's
great having you, man.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good night.
Yep. Bye. Thanks, Jeff.
Good night.
That was awesome.
This has been a Point and Yell production. Yeah, I think the words, but sometimes they don't come out of my mouth no good.